I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As y'all heard from last week, we started talking about the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. And I kind of baited you because I'm gonna let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, lead us in whatever area that we need to go this morning. And we started talking about being blessed when Jesus, remember in verse 1, seeing the multitudes, went on a mountain. And when he was seated, that's just how he liked to teach. He sat down and he began to teach. The disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and he taught them. Now, the disciples wasn't the only ones there most of the time. When he started teaching, there might be 5,000-10,000 people. And the Spirit of God would project and they would hear everything that Jesus taught. Well, here's an area that Jesus taught. And anytime it's in red, I'm paying attention. Now, I'm paying attention to all of it that is inspired by God. Whoever wrote it, the Apostle Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament or whatever, the Gospels that was written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I pay attention to all of them because a lot of them, Jesus was teaching as well, and it's in red. Well, here's an area that it was in red, and last week we taught about being blessed. Now, look at me just for a second. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you have confessed him as Lord. I did it May the 10th, 1979. Otis Baptist Church outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico. My granddad was the pastor. My uncle was the pastor. And that's just where we went. I gave my heart to Jesus. I walked down the middle and I came to an altar like this one. And I gave my heart to the Lord. Exciting time. In my life, I know I was 10, but man, that was the start. I gave my heart to Jesus. I had a grandma, is the reason I said grandma, my dad's mom, that we were raised Southern Baptist, but then she took me to a Pentecostal church. Ow! That was different. But I saw another way of worship, and it didn't bother me a bit. One thing that you're going to see today is how to unify the body. And we need to be unified, and I can promise you we're not going to fight. I think that's the worst thing churches can do is fight amongst some doctrine. Why don't we just believe the doctrine of this Bible from Genesis to Revelations and find out that we're blessed when we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus. And that word blessed, I'm telling you, is an expression of special joys when you study it out in the Hebrew and the Greek. And satisfaction that's granted to us believers who experience salvation. I mean, it's a happy thing, a supremely blessed condition that you and I are. So it's important that we know we're blessed, highly favored of God, amen, because of Jesus. Not without him, we need Jesus. Well, Jesus began to teach in verse 3 about being blessed. And last week, we talked about, you know, being blessed. Who are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And we recognize that it's not talking about poor as far as poverty. No, it's just casting aside all self-dependence and seeking God's grace. In other words, it's not about us, it's about him. And then we operate in his kingdom. We have to be a doer of the word of God, you see. And man, when we brush off the self-dependency and just trust him, his grace, his mercy, His forgiveness, His power, praise God, that dwells on the inside of us. The word dunamis, power of God, that we operate in. The kingdom of God is ours. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then you can speak to a mountain and command it to be cast into the sea with that power, the power of Jesus that lives on the inside of us. See, and just seeking God's grace is what that means, being poor in the Spirit. Then the next one was that blessed are those who mourn, verse 4, for they shall be comforted. And when you understand that, it's just people that are moved by repentance. You know, you're just like, I mourn with people that are going through tough times. And mourning is not a bad thing. It's not grief. You know, a lot of people use that word grief in a negative way. We need to grieve when there's a death. Well, no, you don't. Because when you grieve, you stay in that grief for long periods of time. And you got to understand that whoever left the earth, praise God, that's why we're preaching salvation, because there's no death, no sting of death when they're born again. Because when they leave and they're absent from this body, they're present with the Lord Jesus. I mean, heaven bound, praise God. We have to continue to keep living here. And grief causes people not to do that, you see. So we're not talking about mourning in that area. We're just talking about, man, when people are going through tough times of repentance, then we need to bless them and help them, you see. We need to have just an urgency to get them out of that situation and get their eyes on Jesus and not be a victim, but be a victor. Come on. Okay. You understand, right? I mean, listen to me. You should know my preaching. You've been at this church long enough. I want some. That's right, brother. You know, it's just agreement. When you clap and agree, there's power in agreement, you see. All right, now let's look at some others. Look at verse 5. Blessed, highly favored of God, right, are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know what meek means? It's not denoting weakness, but rather it's what I would call controlled strength, man. I mean, did y'all see that? I mean, one of those, I think, fell from the sky. And there he is. Anyway, Seth, be ready. That thing hit me right in the head. Praise the Lord. The Lord was saying, good job, my son. Bug, thou be gone. In Jesus' name, thou dieth. All right. Where were we at? Oh, meek. It's not talking about weakness, y'all. And a lot of people think when you're meek and mild that it's talking about weakness in the kingdom. No, 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 no. Man, we're talking about being controlled. I teach my kids about when they rope and they're practicing, or even when they're competing. You have to be controlled in your emotions. Because if something doesn't go right, then we don't have time to throw fits. We need to fix it, and then the next run, do it right. Because if you're not controlled and your emotions are controlling you, and listen, there's even Christians that they're constantly crying. And sometimes that's okay thing, because there's something about that tenderness. But it can go overboard where all you do is sob and you're crying about something. No, 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 no. No, we don't have to cry when we understand the kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about not being tender, because we are. You know, I told y'all last week that I would watch those returning home from you know, from the Army or the Air, one of the services, and they come home and surprise their mom or dad, and I would just start bawling. Like, that's the sweetest thing ever. We're not talking about that tenderness. I'm talking about we don't need to be wimpy. No, we need to have the power of God on our inside. When you're meek, that's what that's mean, that you're controlled. Because if you don't control roping wise, and you throw a fit over the last run, you know what it does? It affects the next run. And you've got to clear your mind, and in rodeo, you got to have a short memory. You don't want to remember all the bad things you did back when, all the sin that happened to me in college. The party was at my house. I only reference that stuff so for examples of how we can overcome, praise God, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. But I'm not going back to that day of Babylon. I'm not going back to that day of sin. Now, some of my friends try to remind me of what I did in college back when, right? But I always remind them that, oh no, I'm a new man. I'm forgiven. Thank God. That's the old me that lived 2 years in a party. But now I live in the righteousness of God because I do things right. Now, if I do things right, doesn't mean I'm not righteous. It just means I'm messed up, and thank God for grace and mercy. But we learned all last month that we're not going to use that as an excuse to sin, because sin has no dominion over me and you as a believer in Jesus. I want to be meek. I want to have self-discipline. I want to have the strength to say no to sin. I want to have strength to say, I'm not going to let this one bad run, this one mistake, cause me to live in defeat or live as a victim. No, I want to live as a victor. I want to know that my God is for me and not against me. All things that I do through Christ causes strength to come to me. I want to be meek, because you're blessed if you're meek. Now let's go on to the next one. Look at verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man, we might stay on that for just a little bit, y'all. Think about that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. When you're hungry, you won't get filled up, right? Well, there's a lot of ways in the Word of God that satisfies hunger, and we're not just talking about meat, about food. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Lord Jesus is trying to talk to us about. And so let's just study it out. Let's go to the right in our Bible, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Flip over there real fast. Now, and let's just begin in verse 5. Jesus again is talking here, right? He says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, the reason that I'm starting here is there's something about being hungry about the kingdom of God, being filled with the Spirit of God. And we're going to read some scriptures about this, because this is not talked about, especially in the Baptist church, this being filled supernaturally with the Spirit of God. But I'm here to tell you, you're fixing to see scriptures that will help you receive that power of the filling of the Spirit of God in your life. And so we just need to study it out. Now, when you give your life to Jesus, there's one baptism that happens. It's called the baptism of water, right? Remember, when you give your heart to Jesus, the first act of obedience is getting baptized with water. Why? Well, because it represents the death, the burial of the old you before you gave your life to Jesus. And when you come out of the water, you're a brand new creation in Christ. I mean, the death, burial, and then resurrection. And Jesus was baptized with water. But look what Jesus is saying right here. For John truly baptized with water, but you, go ahead and point at yourself, that's talking about you. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that means there's two baptisms. There's a baptism of water when you give your life to Jesus. And then there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand this, because there's a reason when you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's you're already baptized with water. You already have the Spirit of God in you. But we're talking about a supernatural happening when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where the old Pentecostal church comes in. This is why probably the Lord had my mama take me to the Pentecostal church, coming from the Salvation Baptist Church. Well, Hillcrest Baptist. Because he wanted to plant salvation on the inside of me. Well, that's what I do when I travel the country, man. I mean, I'm an evangelist, buddy. I can get them saved. I can. I mean, I can walk into any place, and with an open door, I can get you born again. I can. Matter of fact, you can tell at this church, because so many people get saved at this church like I've never seen. And I mean, that anointing that I believe I have, as far as that evangelistic anointing, woo, man, I want you saved. I want you giving your heart to Jesus, not to a church, not to a denomination. I want you to give your heart to Jesus. When you give your heart to Jesus, that's the first baptism of water that represents the death, burial, and resurrection of the old you to a new you in Christ Jesus. But then there's that second baptism that's not taught a lot of times, that you got to get a hold of. And why do you have that Holy Spirit not many days from now? Jump down to verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, say it with me. Y'all are there, right? Look at your Bible, because you need to get a hold of this. You need to see for yourself, what is it talking about when you're filled, and that's what we're talking about when we're thirsting, we're hungry for righteousness' sake. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. So look, but you shall receive, and Jesus is saying it, power. Now, look at me just for a second so I can just re-edify, I mean reconfirm that word power. It's a dunamis Greek word, power, that Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. And you and I have that power at our disposal today. We can say no to sin. We can say yes to Jesus. We can also say no to Jesus, and we can say yes to sin. But when you get the power of God on the inside of you through Christ Jesus, you're baptized in the Spirit of God. The Bible says that you receive power to do what? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You know what that means? You've got the power to start telling people about Jesus. I mean, God gives you that power. You're not afraid. You don't walk in the spirit of fear. You walk in the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And when you have that power, praise God, because the Spirit of God has baptized you, oh man, that's when you can tell anybody about Jesus and not be afraid of persecution. Say amen, y'all. Well, we need that. It doesn't need just to be the preacher doing it. It needs to be all believers. Why? Because Ephesians says that my job as a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet or the teacher is to teach the saints the work of the ministry. You should be going out there filling this church up. You should be going out there laying hands on the sick. Why? Because you've got the power. You've got the power to be a witness. I'm not afraid to tell people about my Jesus, no matter what our government says. Oh, you should say it louder. I mean, we need to know that the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost causes me to not be afraid. No, I have a, well, it goes deeper though, as y'all probably know. Okay, flip over one page. Where are we going, Lord? Probably to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, we've got to talk about that just for a second, because we're talking about being blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, right? Man, when you give your heart to Jesus, you're made righteous. A lot of times people don't really be a testimony to the Lord because they're afraid. They're afraid of someone, you know, talking bad and again persecuting. But look here. We've got to be in one accord in a church, because when we're in one accord, that's when you see healings come. That's when you see manifestations of whatever you're believing God for. When it lines up with the Word of God, man, it just starts happening in your life. And it does for me. Why? Well, because I've been convinced that the Word of God is yes and amen. I've been convinced that because of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me, because of the dunamis power of God that lives on the inside of me, not that I'm holier than thou or goody two-shoe, I just know who I am in Christ. And you can't convince me that Jesus doesn't still heal today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed blind Bartimaeus, and by golly, he's got to heal me. Or he's a respecter of persons. Now that leads me down this little rabbit trail for just a second. When it's talking about being in one accord, in one place, that means we got to stop fighting with each other. That means denominations need to quit fighting. Just because we believe in raising our hands or someone doesn't believe that doesn't mean we've got to fight. The only thing we need to be standing on is who's the foundation. And our foundation is not a church. Our foundation is not our government. Our foundation is only Jesus Christ. Come on, someone say amen. We've got to understand that without Jesus being the foundation of everything in our life, you'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost until we get into agreement, praise God. We've got to stop fighting with other denominations. As long as Jesus is being taught as Him being crucified, Him being the foundation, Him being the only way to the Father in heaven, then who cares about some of the side stuff? Really, we got to get in one accord. Well, being in one accord still takes some teaching. And you know, I'm moved by a few things sometimes. And when I'm moved by a few things, usually what I do is I tell my wife first. We talk about it. She might correct me, or she might just listen and let me vent. So I did that yesterday or a couple of days. Maybe it might have been last night. And it's because God gets the blame for a lot of things. And religion then tries to creep in, and we stop truly believing the Word of God. For example, they were doing an interview on a cowboy, and the cowboy that won said, well, it must have been God's plan. Okay, think about that for a minute. Because God's plan is for all of us to live according to this Word of God, being the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. We're winners and not losers. But when you start getting things mixed up, it gets very confusing. So really, when you start saying, well, it's just God's plan that this happened in my life, wait a minute. So was it God's plan that those others lost? Was it His plan that just this one succeeded, and then all the other 11 contestants lost? You see, it gets confusing, because it is God's plan that we succeed and that we live in the righteousness of God. We seek the kingdom of God, and then all the things will be added unto us. But listen to me. It would mean that it's God's fault that the people didn't win, because it was the plan of God for this one to win. So you've got to start saying it right. You've got to start thinking it right. It's God's plan that you succeed, but it's not His plan unless you do the work of the ministry, that you be a doer of the Word of God. I'm teaching Seth this too, and whoever comes into my mouth gate, that if you sow the seed, that's why we talked earlier about sowing and reaping. If you sow the seed of practice, I'm telling you, you're going to reap the harvest. But when you don't succeed, you don't have to say, well, it must have not been God's plan. Or have you ever heard someone say, if it be thy will? Well, that gets used in a very perverted way. Because if something doesn't go right, it must have been God's will that you not succeed. No. If you're a doer of the Word of God and you sow the seed of right practice, you'll make the national finals. If you don't, though, it was not God's plan to beat you up over the head with a Bible so He can teach you a few lessons and cause you to not do good. See, He gets the blame for a lot of things. But I'm telling you, if you're a doer of this Word, you may not win. You may not make the finals. But I'm here to tell you, it's not God's fault that you didn't make it. You just get yourself up, dust yourself off, and not use that as an excuse. Or, well, it just must have not been God's plan for me to not succeed. Are y'all listening to me? We've got to start understanding that God, through the Word of God, is just wanting us to hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. And when we allow religion to get in, it perverts things. And then there's confusion. And how many of you know that that God is not the author of confusion? He's no respecter of persons. If someone in the natural does the work to make the national finals, or that guy gets up there and he hits a home run when he's up at bat, or the guy that makes that free throw to win the game, praise God, it was because he practiced to do it. And it was God's plan for all of us to succeed in the kingdom, but we've got to do what it takes. We've got to start being a doer of the Word of God so that God doesn't get the blame because we had failure. And that's all we're trying to get. And this is just a rabbit hole, y'all. We just got to start, you know, it's God's plan that the softball team wins. But when they don't, that doesn't mean it was God's fault that they didn't win. No, they just didn't do what it takes to win. Because then there's confusion. Well, God must not love me today like He loves the guy that just won. Do you understand? Okay, that's why we've got to start sowing the seed of the Word of God. We've got to start speaking this Word so that we don't allow religion to creep in and, well, you know, God's got a plan. I guess because I got cancer, it was just God's plan. Yo mama, because that's not God's plan. God's plan is that you succeed. What about being blessed because you hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake? And sometimes it goes the opposite, where we give the devil a whole lot of credit. Well, you know that devil. You know that devil. Well, wait a minute. What about you? You're the one that submitted to his temptation. That's why we stayed on sin not having dominion over us for so long, and living by that one scripture, we all fall short of the glory of God. And we learned that, yes, we all fall short of the glory of God before we give our heart to Jesus. But after we give our heart to Jesus, we're righteous. We're made righteous. I mean, we are someone in Christ, not away from Him. That's why Jesus has to be everything in our life. He's got to be the foundation, because if not, then, well, it must have not been God's will that I was healed. Or that I wasn't healed, I guess. Yeah. If it be thy will. Well, no, all you got to do is just figure out what God's will is. Do you realize that there was no one that didn't get healed when Jesus was walking on this earth? Now that He left and He's seated at the right hand of the God, He says, okay, now the job's up to you, girl. My daughter. Now you go lay hands on the sick. All you got to do is all things are possible to him that believes. This word of God is yes and amen. So it's God's will for you to be healed. We can't start thinking that if the manifestation of healing doesn't come, I guess it just wasn't God's will. Okay, I don't have, well, I might have a little bit of time, but check out the part of, and I think the reason that God wanted us to get kind of taught right here is because we've got to get in one accord, y'all, in order for the power to come. I mean, we need that day of Pentecostal to come in our personal lives if we'll all just get in one accord. And it'll come to this church in manifestation if we get in one accord, praise God. And we start agreeing on the Word of God that it's yes and amen. So, when they were all in one accord in one place, suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled. Now underline that word filled, because what are we talking about in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are those who hunger. That means you got to get filled with something, right? When you're hungry with food, then you got to go and eat. And it's got to get fill this flesh. And then the flesh gets strong, right? We're talking about the spirit, though. We need to get filled, man, so that the whole house where they were sitting was filled with this sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And then there appeared to them divided tongues. Oh, Jesus. You start talking about that word tongue stuff. I know some people that think tongues is of the devil. Ha! Where do you get that? Because it wasn't right here. It was the power. My goodness. And in Bible study, we start learning how to get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in a tongue that the Bible says no man understands but God. And why would people be afraid of getting filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? You see. You know what I think? I think the devil tries to keep it from people because he doesn't want them to have the power. Because when you pray in an unknown language that the Bible calls tongues here, and no man understands it but God, that means the devil can't understand it. And in English, the devil can come against anything we say. But he can't tongues. You know why? Because he don't understand it. But boy, he comes against people. That tongue stuff, And they start resisting it. Wait a minute. The Bible just says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And when you're hungry and thirsty for something, you want more. You need to start studying out the baptism of the Holy Ghost here. Because look, divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all. It didn't say some of them. It says they were all filled. Remember that word filled? We're hungry and thirsty for righteousness' sake. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, flip up back Flip back to Matthew chapter 3 real fast, and we'll start closing. Matthew chapter 3. And it's just going to back up again, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. Remember, that's the first baptism. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. We're talking about Jesus here, obviously. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Listen, y'all got to start reading this part of the Bible. We've got to start understanding that blessed are them that hunger and thirst. I want more. And I'm not talking about being squirrely. I'm not talking about going to a denominational church and start speaking in tongues. You know, you'll get kicked out. I'm talking about start being hungry and thirsty to get filled. And one part of being full is getting filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how I operate out there in that world. I have that power. I mean, people, they come to me because of the joy of the Lord that I live in. Why are you so happy? Sit down, brother. Let me tell you. Well, that's part of having that power. I'm not afraid that they go, oh, another Jesus freak. Here we go. I've literally had someone walk up to me and admonish me because we prayed over our meal. Did you hear me? What? You don't need to do that in public. It should be private. Ha! The devils ain't private. No. I'm gonna proclaim my Jesus. You know why? Because the Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus then says, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. That's why we are not afraid to tell people about our Jesus. And one part of it is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want to start finding out who you are in Christ and you want to start finding out about a prayer language and the gifting of tongues with the interpretation and things like that, you got to get to Bible study, because we'll have time where you can then raise your hand and say, wait, what does that mean? What? Instead of what people do is you'll get into a spirit-filled church and they'll get scared and leave. Why? Well, because they don't have any understanding. It's got to get taught. We've got to start teaching about the baptism, that infilling of the Spirit of God, the third of the Trinity, man, that then brings power to you and I to be a witness, that we're not afraid to tell people about Jesus, but more than that, that we have an infilling. Man, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for righteousness' sake. I want to do what's right. In order for me to do what's right, I need the power of God to live on the inside of me and start controlling, man. I still got to be a doer of the word, right? We still got to do what the Bible says to do. But man, there's something about having your own prayer language that only God understands. There's times when I'm driving by myself, and I don't do it in front of a lot of people. I don't even do it in front of my family, but I'll be driving and I'll just start praying. You know how you can pray in English and it seems like the same old prayer? You ever done that? I mean, it's just the same prayer. Father, bless me, protect me, you know. Pray over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus, you know. And well, there's times when I don't know how to pray, I'll pray in the Spirit. Well, that's my own prayer language, y'all. That is for every single believer. And I don't know why people are scared of this. Or they get into their head, well, I tried that tongue stuff. And I just, as if they think God's going to speak for them. No, you still got to speak. And I'm telling you, and when I do, a lot of times when I pray, and my Lord, it's in the Bible. All through here talks about the evidence of the Spirit of God. the fire when they all was in one accord that day of Pentecost. But look, it's for you as a believer. When you don't know how to pray about something, man, if you just start praying in the Spirit, whew, oh, Jesus. A lot of times when I finish, I'll just pray and I'll say, Father, I received that. Well, yeah, the devil then goes, you don't know what you're praying. You're making that up. Well, the devil's supposed to do that. He's the author of lies. But the Bible says, remember, wait a minute. We believe in a God that we cannot see. We're living by faith. We're believing in going to a place called heaven that we have never been to and we cannot see. And then you want to understand tongues? Well, the Bible says you won't, but the devil won't either, and God does. He may need you to be praying about something that you don't know how to pray for, but when you pray in the Spirit, ooh, Jesus. Man, watch God do some things in your life when you start understanding the power that lives on the inside of you. Well, a lot of times at church, we're preaching salvation and repentance. Well, it's time. It's time you start learning about the power so that when you leave the gates of this church and all hell comes against you, you'll know what to do. You won't back down, and be a coward in the Spirit. No, you'll be a mighty man and woman of God because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You'll be able to speak to that devil and say, devil, you're not messing with me. You're just a fallen angel. You ain't got no power over me, praise God. That's what we do. When we're going through a rough period in any area of life, what do you just accept it? Well, that must have been God's will that I have cancer now. No, there's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you know the power of God that lives on the inside of you, that's when you've got that power to say, no, devil, I don't receive Crohn's disease. That's what they said about me, remember? 20 plus years ago. I don't have Crohn's. Now, the doctor said it was a fact. I was diagnosed with Crohn's. It wasn't the truth, though. Amen. It was a fact. He diagnosed me with Crohn's. Okay, I could have believed that fact that I had Crohn's, and it would have taken over my body. The doctor said I would have had to take medicine for the rest of my life, because if I didn't, they would keep taking out intestine. They took out 16 inches of intestine out of this body 25 years ago or whatever. If I would have agreed with the fact that I had the disease that the doctor said called Crohn's, and he was an educated doctor, I decided, though, to believe the Word of God. And that's the truth. If you believe the truth, it will override the fact. And that's when you're healed. I've never taken a pill in all my life, y'all. Okay, listen to me, and I'll close on this. If he did it for me, he's got to do it for you. Because he don't love me any more than he loves you. You're created in the image of God in his likeness. You're his favorite kid. Did you hear me? Do you believe that? You're his favorite. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. There's the devil again. No, you got to find out who you are. Having that power, that infiltration of the Holy Ghost with fire, that old tongue stuff that we never understood, you might want to start studying it out. Because when you do, that's when the power comes. That's when you control your emotions. That's when you're a doer of the Word. I'm not saying you might not make a mistake. Thank God for grace, mercy, forgiveness, right? But we just can't live with that justification of, oh, we just fall short of the glory of God. Just part of life. No, it isn't. Not in the kingdom. But when you do make a mistake, there's mercy. You don't die. In the Old Testament, they died. If they sinned, they died. Well, thank God when we sin, there's grace and mercy. That's why Jesus and that power, that power. That's why Jesus was sent by the Father, crucified, raised from the dead. That's the whole reason that we have Christmas and we have Easter in the world. Christmas being the birth of Jesus, Easter being His resurrection. Come on, man, there's something about this God stuff. There's something about this Bible stuff if you just dust it off. Start reading this book. It's pretty cool. I'm talking about when you give your heart to Jesus, we're in a different kingdom. We're not living like the world. But you got to be a doer of this word. You got to get your mind reading this Bible. That's why I'm trying to teach all of us, get in this Bible, not just Sunday, but every day trying to learn how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better friend, how to be a better boyfriend. Treat that girl right. How to be a better believer. Knowledge of the power, man. Amen? Amen? Man, I love this Bible stuff. And by the way, it's 11:58. Can y'all believe that I'm going to be here next Sunday as well? I'm serious. I've never been here this long. But it's time. It's up to you to get people in these seats. When we get in one accord in one place, I built this church with the Lord as the foundation, thank God. It's not about Corey Ross. But I built it in mind, knocking this wall out and building another sanctuary like this and just going that direction. Well, it's time. And I know we live a long ways out, but you preach the word, they're going to come. But it's up to you to be a doer of the word. Have that power, y'all. It lives on the inside of you. His name's Jesus. Amen. Devil can't defeat you. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a doer of the word of God. You operate by the wisdom and the faith and the wisdom of God, as James 1 says. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life and save us. And we're all going to do it not to get saved again. The believers in here that's already, they know they're saved. They know when they leave this earth, they're going to heaven. We're going to pray the salvation prayer with anyone around us that's never received Jesus before. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. You ready? If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven, hell. You just hadn't thought about it much, but you're having to think about it right now. I want you to choose heaven. The only way, according to John 14, to choose heaven is by receiving Jesus. Remember, he says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. Not a church, not a denomination, definitely not a preacher. No, Jesus. He's the only way to get to the Father. And that's why we have a salvation plan here, where you have a Savior here on earth like heaven. If you're here this morning, you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth and you died, and Jesus is not your Lord, make Him your Lord by praying this prayer. When we pray it, we're going to pray it out loud, where our ears can hear it. And we're going to ask Jesus, the Son of God, y'all. Remember, John, when Jesus taught us, 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then He says this, whoever believes on Him, Jesus, is going to have an everlasting life. In other words, you won't die. Your flesh might, but not your spirit. You'll not perish. You'll have an everlasting life forever and ever and ever. But it's only through Jesus. So pray this prayer if you've never have. And all the believers, pray this with me. Say this. Out of your mouth, out loud, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin, because I believe that this prayer is true, it's real, and Jesus is my Lord, and you have been raised from the dead. And I'm saved, going to heaven when I leave this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed before I say amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, don't you be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of it. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. I'm going to have you right where you're sitting or wherever you're watching us. If you just prayed that prayer, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up with boldness saying, I just prayed that prayer and I gave my heart to Jesus this morning. And then just put your hand down. You're acknowledging that you gave your heart to Jesus before a man, me. And then Jesus says, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. So if you just gave your heart to Jesus, be bold and get that hand up when I say three. You ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. All right. I didn't see anybody. Look at me. Might have saw one. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for one. Hallelujah. Hey, now you're my sister. You're my brother in Christ Jesus. We're family. Amen. Thank God for one. Come on, we got to be excited, hungry and thirsty.